We are Fellowship Bible Church. We are a people who know and express the authentic Christ. We exist to glorify God. We are a community of believers led by the Spirit and under the authority of God's Word. Our primary focus is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We are on mission to love people well. We believe all people matter to God, are created in His image, and are worthy of service. We gather together corporately once a week to worship God, and then we scatter all across Northwest Arkansas to meet in the context of small groups where we love, support, and challenge one another. We walk in humility, love extravagantly, and live generously. We highly value a good life change story, and our hope and prayer is that we would change the heart and soul of Northwest Arkansas and the world.
Don't you love that voice? You know, as I was walking up here, Bart Sego grabbed me by the arm and said, "Don't you love this group of people? If there's anyone your pastors would love to spend time with, it's you. You all are the community group leaders of Fellowship. You're the core of Fellowship. You guys have it all figured out, right? It's intimidating to get up here. It's, you know, you're an intimidating group. Hey, we are so excited to be here. This morning, we are starting a four-week series. We are excited about this series, too. It's on how fellowship, as a local expression of a global movement, God's doing something, and we are a local expression of that. And as we began to discuss this series as a pastoral staff, what we realized is we needed to get you all together in a room, and we needed to talk some business. You're the heartbeat of this church. We as a church, we are a church of small groups. And what we mean by that is most of what happens that's called the church happens outside of this building. It happens in oftentimes your homes, in living rooms and in conference rooms and coffee shops all over Northwest Arkansas. And for that, we are incredibly grateful. We are a church where the priesthood of the believer is live and well. And you are the priesthood, whether you realize that or not. You are the shepherding leaders of those small groups. And so for that, we are incredibly grateful. Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at the scriptures for guidance at this thing that we call church. Matter of fact, if you were to take the class, if you were to go to seminary, theology studies, they would call this ecclesiology. It's actually the study of the church. And that's what we're going to do this morning, especially with you leaders. We're going to open up the scriptures, and we're going to look at this thing, church. And then for the next 4 weeks, we're going to do the same. We're going to answer the who, what, why, and how questions. We're going to look at our mission this morning. Next week, we'll look at our identity, and then our strategy, and our philosophy. And what I hope is it will be a very encouraging time to you as a leader, because I think what you'll see is you're right in the strike zone. You're the pinpoint of the spear in what we're trying to do here. We believe this about the church. A healthy church empowers life-changing encounters with Jesus. If you want to assess a church, if you want to look at it, what you'll see is a healthy church, it empowers life-changing encounters with Jesus. If you go to Europe these days, there's something kind of interesting, an interesting phenomenon. What you'll do is you'll go to a church site. And what will it be? It'll be a monument, won't it? And you'll get your picture taken with it. You'll put it on social media, and people will recognize where you're at. Oftentimes, those churches are also museums, aren't they? I think we've got some pictures. They turn churches into museums. What's interesting is many of those churches have been turned into all kinds of things. Things like restaurants and bars. You see, they all can't be monuments. And you think about these churches that were at one point a probably a expression of Jesus, maybe possibly a movement of Jesus in their local area. They're probably the life-giving force of that community, and now they're a local bar hangout. Or maybe even, I think I found a picture of a skate park located in a church. Isn't that crazy? And that brings up the thought is, what causes a church to go from being a movement to a monument? What causes a church from going to being something life-giving, life-breathing into a community to being something people take pictures in front of? What causes that? And then you start to think, okay, so what's Fellowship Bible Church going to be like in 100 years? What would it look like if our grandchildren drove by and we were a campus, a corporate headquarters campus? What would that say about us? Or what if we were a community college campus? Or even worse, what if we were Funtown? What if we were a trampoline park? It's kind of funny, isn't it? You know, the trampolines in the worship center and Mickey's office. But it would be sad, wouldn't it? Because it would say that we didn't do our job and we didn't accomplish our mission. So what causes a church to go from being a movement, which we feel like God's used this church, he's had his hand on this church for the last 30 years, to being a monument? Well, I think there's a couple things that would keep us consistently being a movement. The first of all would be just a continued blessing and mercy of God. It would be his hand on us. It would be his grace that we daily go by and depend on his grace. And if we ever start to think we've got it all figured out, then we know we'd be in trouble, right? And the second thing is this. It's that there should be a God-ordained vision and mission. We need to have a big dream and then a plan to accomplish that dream. And that's what we hope to talk about this morning. I think this morning what you'll find is you'll be reminded of some things that you already know. Hopefully you'll walk out of this room and you'll be ready to lead that group once again, because it's hard to lead, isn't it? It's hard to clean up your house on that Sunday afternoon or that Wednesday afternoon. The vision of our church is this, the big dream, to change the heart and soul of Northwest Arkansas and the world. This is what we're hoping for. When we close our eyes and you look down the road, 100 years from now, this is what we hope would happen. That this area would be changed and be different because of your church and because of my church. Our dream that NWA would be a different place. We have such a long-term, deep impact of generations that the people in Northwest Arkansas would see the heart and soul of this community would be different. We hope to make a real difference in real people's lives, and that's going to happen through you. You are the hands and feet of that. We have a saying we use around here often. We believe God uses changed lives to change lives. Let me say that again. God uses changed lives, you and me, to change lives, doesn't he? You see, something incredible is happening. And this happens that because of you. You are a catalyst for life change. You are sharing the good news of Jesus with the lost and hurting world. You are bringing everyday life-giving wisdom from the scriptures. And for that, we are incredibly grateful. Every time at your home or in the conference room or a coffee shop, you gather together and you open up the scriptures, I believe God is doing something. He's changing hearts and lives. And as you invite people in, he's changing. But it's not just in Northwest Arkansas. If you notice that many of our global workers, if you look at the roster of them, many of them were sitting in these seats just a number of years ago, weren't they? And now they're over there. They're former community group leaders. Also, we see the nations coming right here. It's amazing. The best and the brightest of the world are coming right here, oftentimes for short stints of time, and we have the opportunity to impact them and change eternal destinies. A healthy church facilitates life-changing encounters with Jesus. A healthy church enables transformation. A healthy church is a community of believers who know and can express the changing power of the risen Christ. And today I want us to look at one verse. In just a few minutes I'm going to have Mickey come up, but I want us to look at first at one verse. And I have, since I've been on staff 15 years, I have read this verse more often. I have quoted this verse to people more often. I've probably prayed this verse more often than any other. As we think about the church this morning and your role as a community group leader in this church, in this one verse, I believe we'll both see the goal of the church, which is life change, but also a problem or an obstacle. And I will think we will see the heartbeat of our church in this verse. If you would, open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, verse 2. If you don't have it, I'll read it for us. Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Jesus says this, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. You know, Jesus is probably standing somewhere next to a field, maybe a field of wheat. I took a picture of one when I was in Israel, and you see this field of wheat there, and it's ripe for the harvest. And Jesus is probably making an illustration. It's not an agricultural illustration. It's probably a metaphor. He's saying, look at this field. It's ripe for the harvest. Look at these people. They're ripe for the harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers, or the NIV says workers, are few. Let's break this down real quick. What is the harvest? What is the harvest? It's a metaphor. It's representing the spiritual experiences and opportunities for life change. It is describing what happens in a person's life when they experience the Lord, when they show up to your community group. And then they pray for the first time. And then they begin to study the scriptures. And then something happens and they're able to articulate, hey, guess what happened in my life? I need to be baptized. It's an awesome thing. Is the harvest really plentiful? What do you think? In Northwest Arkansas, is the harvest plentiful? If we were to close your eyes and you think about your neighborhood, think about your next door neighbors, think about your workplace, your teammates, your coworkers, think about your children's activities, the families of their teammates. Is the harvest plentiful? You bet. Even in Northwest Arkansas, it's still plentiful. But who are the laborers? It's not speaking of the clergy. It's not speaking of the one with the name tag. It's not speaking of the one wearing the robe. It's regular, normal people like you and me who are willing to sacrifice a little bit of time, maybe money, maybe energy for the gospel. But not many people are willing to do this. Not many people are willing to reap a spiritual harvest, to live a life committed to laboring for the Lord and represent the Lord here on this earth. It's getting harder, isn't it? It's getting to be a challenge. So why are they few? Well, maybe that's it, because it's hard. It's hard. It takes time. It takes energy. I have to clean my house before they can come over. You ever had a fight with your spouse about that? I used to tell Sherry that, hey, let's clean our house after everybody leaves. It went over great. But oftentimes people think you're unworthy, or I don't have the knowledge or skills, or maybe there's brokenness or self-centeredness or a lack of vision or busyness or sin. I think we could all raise our hand at some point, couldn't we? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Let me stop right there for just a second. Think about this. Plentiful harvest, limited labor force. Right there, in the middle of that, is the mission of our church. It's who we are. If we were to look at our mission statement, it says this: to produce and release spiritual leaders who know and can express the authentic Christ in Northwest Arkansas and the world. See, the reason this church exists is because there's a plentiful harvest and there's a limited labor force. And right there is why we exist. Right there is why we ask you to lead every year. It's because we want to raise up spiritual laborers. We want to raise up spiritual leaders. Now, if we were to define a spiritual leader, it's a maturing disciple with a ministry focus. Oftentimes, the spiritual leader, the community group leader, is not the most mature person in the group. Isn't that right? You ever had somebody that had like a seminary degree in your group? It's intimidating, isn't it? But it's okay, because what you're doing is you're inviting people in. You're saying, Bill and Sally, we want you to be a part of our group. And then, Bill and Sally, will you lead the prayer time? Hey, Bill and Sally, will you host? Hey, Bill and Sally, would you lead the lesson? Because we're going to be gone this week. Hey, being gone is a great thing as a leader, because you're releasing other leaders. Hey, Bill and Sally, we're going to go over and do this thing. Would you guys take our group? And what you're doing, you're opening up more seats, and you're reaching the harvest. And you're raising up laborers. And we are grateful that you're doing it. The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. And what we're trying to do is produce and release spiritual leaders who know and can express the authentic Christ right here and all around the world. Hey, our assessment process is this. You've probably seen this before. It's the R3 wheel, the spiritual growth wheel. If you look at it on one side, you have the infant and child. You come to Christ and you're a spiritual infant, right? You don't know what you don't know. And then you move around it and you're a spiritual child. You're focused on just growing and knowledge, and you want to know. Some of you might be there. And then as we work our way around the wheel, it's a spiritual young adult. Probably most of the people in this room are on that side of the wheel. And we love spiritual young adults because they serve. They're very concerned about the community. You serve. You're thinking about others. You're focused on others. But the reason this church exists is to produce the fourth quadrant person. It's a spiritual parent. It's someone who will say, I want to help others be spiritual parents. To produce and release spiritual leaders. And it's challenging. And we want to help you be a spiritual parent. It's why we do this thing called church. And it's why we ask you to lead. Hey, look at the verse one more time. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So what does he tell us to do? Pray. 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 But there's also this implied expectation of a volitional do something. Because you know what? Who he's speaking to there? He's speaking to the 72. He's not even speaking to just the 12. He's speaking to the 72. He says, pray, but then there's this implied of go. And as you go, harvest, because you are the answer to the prayer. Pray, go, harvest. Every year, pray, go, harvest. Hey, we're incredibly grateful for you doing that. We've got a video this morning of a couple that's doing this very thing. I think in the video, you'll probably think, yeah, we've done that, or yeah, that's how we did it. And some of you will probably be very challenged by it and encouraged by it. But it's a couple of the Davises that are just doing it. And it's so encouraging. Watch this.
Faith and God and all that stuff was a big part of me growing up. But it really wasn't until I got in high school to where that really became real. Even though you've been doing these good things, like the relationship and the heart piece is not there. That's when I gave my life to the Lord.
The theme in my life is that his faithfulness has always been there. I remember kneeling next to my parents' bed with my dad and doing the prayer. I really believed that I was saved at that point. I didn't really see life change until I was in 10th grade.
So we got married March of 08. We kind of then kind of started pursuing a church home and trying to find out kind of what was our fit.
We had people we knew at Fellowship. We were wanting to like kind of just go the route that they ask you to kind of. Filled out a little form and then somebody contacted us. We got plugged in real quickly.
So we did Discovery and then Hunter House came to us. What do you guys think about leading this group after Discovery? And so we said, okay, you know, yeah, sure, we'll do it. And we kind of set the expectation kind of pretty early on that, hey, like we want this group to grow and all that sort of thing. And so then it was just kind of about raising up leaders and who can lead the next group.
People understood what community groups really were. So they kind of could see the vision, even though we loved our group. We had tons of leaders in the group, and so it needed to probably split. We saw that they could thrive on their own.
Yeah, we were together for 2 or 3 years, and then before we multiplied.
A lot of these people can do it. You think, oh, community group leaders, it's so daunting, like you have so much responsibility, but out of the 5 groups that have come out of that one Discover group, that none of them probably thought that they would ever be community group leaders, and they're all doing so well. I see growth, like spiritual growth, because they're having to take responsibility for their faith and really grow. They're the ones, you know, shepherding their little flock.
It's helped grow people from kind of a passive faith, and I went to church growing up, I know all the right answers, I'm going to come to church on Sunday and come to community group and then go home. Like, I need to get serious about this, and I need to choose if this is going to be a passive thing, which has happened, or I'm going to step up and lead. So I think that's been really good to see, as people kind of really embrace that kind of leadership role and get serious about their faith.
I honestly think that for us, being leaders it keeps you kind of on your game, you know, and like in communicating with others in your group and making sure everybody's good.
One of the big things is just seeing the power of just living life together and living kind of an openly spiritual life where we can talk about, you know, spiritual things, and those things are not like weird and like very personal, like it's kind of out in the open. I think that's one of the things that I've seen throughout our time that's been good. I have friends that I truly love and that truly know me for who I am. I can go to those people and I can talk to them about things and I can share life. They can ask me hard questions, they can give me hard truths, and I can give those back to them. How do we talk about spiritual things together? How do we openly talk about spiritual things with the kids? When our kids become young adults and all that sort of thing, you know, these are the fathers and the mothers that are going to help us pour into our kids and help us kind of walk alongside this family thing as we're trying to all figure it out. And so I think that's what community is.
What a great video. I'm so glad that our whole body is getting to see that video this morning, to be exposed to community, to understand what it is to be a part of a vibrant, living community, because it makes so much difference, doesn't it? You've spent time outside of community and times when you haven't had that. It's just a little bit miserable. We are Fellowship Bible Church of Northwest Arkansas. We've been around since 1984, 34 years. And I believe that Northwest Arkansas is a better place because the people of Fellowship. I think it's a different place, don't you? The influence and the impact of the people of this body have made a difference in Northwest Arkansas. Fellowship is a nickname. We just say fellowship, fellowship this. But we do so in realizing that there's a larger context. We are Fellowship Bible Church. The believers of Acts 2 devoted themselves to the teaching of the word and to prayer, of breaking bread together. They had that koinonia, and we read about that they were in awe of what God was doing in their midst. And we've been in awe too as we've watched over all these years God just continue to bring more and more and more people to this place. The things that he's accomplished through their lives. The influence that this body of believers has had. And for the sake of Christ and in obedience to his commands, we want to accomplish as much as possible, while it is possible, wherever possible. We want to accomplish as much as possible, while it is possible, everywhere possible. Because we've only got this much time. Most of us are at the age now, we see how fast this is going by. It's a blink, isn't it? So we got to get it done while we can, what God's called us to do. Something special happens when we all gather together, when we're in this context. When we hear one another singing, when we look into one another's eyes, when we hear the word preached, we're reminded of what life is all about and while we're here. We want to glorify God and enjoy Him forever, as the Westminster Catechism says. So we are fellowship. That's what that name means. And then Bible, the Logos. The Logos, the Word. 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, and correcting, and training in righteousness, so that all of us might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Word equips us to do what we're supposed to do. We believe that God's Word is the ultimate unchanging authority in all matters. We will never compromise the Word of God because of cultural pressure. It is our blueprint and our guide. We adhere to its precepts in word and deed, or at least we try, don't we? We try. There's no other alternative or equivalent. The Word of God is our guide in a dark and lost world. The church, Fellowship Bible Church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. We are called out of the world to accomplish God's purpose. Ephesians 3:21 says, "To him be glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Amen? We are called out to serve the one who bought us with a price and who's made us citizens of another kingdom. And we eagerly await his return, as Ephesians says. We are Fellowship Bible Church, and it is our ultimate purpose to glorify God. That's why we're here. At the entrance of our campus, you see our sign there. But there's a symbol to the left that you'll see all around our campus and in our buildings. That symbol has been around since our earliest days. And it's not just a cute design that we use. Every aspect of this symbol represents something. And so I want to walk through that with you. First of all, there's the volitional dimension. The hub is Christ. Christ is central to everything that we do. As a church and as individuals, he should be central to everything that we do. And then you have the embedded circle, the rim that represents the balanced, obedient Christian life. Balance and obedience is important. Have you ever been in a car where a wheel was out of balance? Dinga, 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 dinga. And that's what life is like when we're out of balance. It doesn't work like it should. And then there's a vertical dimension, the word and prayer. Worship. It's communing with God through his word and through prayer. And then there's the horizontal dimension, witnessing and fellowship, or as we say around here, sharing your faith and community. The importance of that. That's the horizontal dimension. Celebrating the lives of others through the gospel. And so knowing this, let's ask ourselves a few questions. Is Christ central to my life? Is Christ the center? Or is it my job? Or anything else that we might put in the place of that center? Is Christ central? We can look at our calendar or our checkbook to find out just where Christ fits in all that. Is Christ central? If not, then let's make him central. Am I living a balanced, obedient life for Christ, or am I out of balance and willfully disobedient? There's no more miserable place for a Christian to be than to be out of balance and disobedient. If we are, then we need to get back in the right spot. Am I spending time in the Word of God daily? Am I reading God's Word to learn what His expectations are? If not, let's start. Am I praying to the one who can do immeasurably more than I could ever ask or imagine? Am I talking to God, or do I just pull Him off the shelf when I need Him, when I'm in trouble? I was involved in a funeral yesterday down in Fayetteville of a wonderful Christian lady who was a part of our body years ago, moved away, but so many people loved her. They had a service there in Fayetteville for her, and I was a part of that. But her family talked about that every day she had a time of reading the Word, of praying, and then the third thing caught my ear. She also spent time listening. After the reading the Word and praying, she would spend time just listening. Are we spending time there? You know, for years you've heard us challenge this entire body to spend 1% of your day, 15 minutes, in the Word and prayer. If we're not spending that time with the Word and prayer and listening to God, then let's start. Let's start. Am I experiencing the full benefits of koinonia, fellowship, community? When I say that in this room, I'm talking to the core. You get it. You understand the benefits of community. You so understand the benefits of community that you are leaders of community. You're willing to take on the role and responsibility of being a leader. And I applaud you for it. Thank you for taking on that role, because early on, our elders recognized that it's not enough to show up in the big congregation. that you don't get everything that you need when you show up in that big room with everybody. We need small groups. We need a care network where we can study together and learn together and take care of one another. It's not an optional thing, though many might see it that way. And you understand that. But I want to read a note today that to you. I'm not doing this over in the other service, but I got a note from a couple. I can't say their names. They're global workers in a closed country. And I met with them a couple of weeks ago and got this email. They said, "We want to say thank you for meeting with us the other day. It was very encouraging. We want to let you know how much our work has been influenced by our growth at Fellowship. One thing we have heard over and over again is how comfortable, safe, and peaceful people feel during our Discover studies that they do overseas. Of course, we have had lots of training in this area, but the thing that I think that makes the most difference in what we do now was being a part and helping lead community groups. It's where we learn to host, lead good discussions, and most importantly, help people grow. We both see how our growth and fellowship over the years has truly helped us to do what we're doing today." The importance of community, you can't minimize that. And so thank you for leading as you do. And the other thing, am I telling others about Christ? Or just expect somebody else with that spiritual gift to do that? No, that's all the responsibility that we have. All of us have that responsibility to tell other people about Jesus, to lead them to Him. There's nothing more thrilling for a Christian than to lead someone else to Christ. One of the things I love to do is turn to my Bible in John chapter 6, and every person I lead to Christ, I have them sign my Bible, write their name and the date in my Bible, and I ask them to do the same in their Bible. And I love to be looking through my Bible and pop it open to John chapter 6. I have several Bibles and I have names in there, and I just look down through the names of people that I've had the opportunity to pray with and hear them ask Jesus Christ to come into their life. Nothing more thrilling. But it's the one thing that Satan will get in your way and try to keep you from doing. You know why? Because he knows that's the most effective thing you can do. Because they will capture what you captured when you began your walk with Christ. And they'll be fruitful and productive in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ because of what's inside them, the Holy Spirit. If we're not telling other people about Christ, let's start. Let's start. As a matter of fact, that leads us to our elder parameters, because that's the first parameter the elders have for us. It was our first parameter last year, but our elders wanted to have it again this year because we're not there. As a body, we need an army of people who are telling their story and sharing their faith and not just thinking that showing up for church is enough. Tell your story, share your faith, and if you're not equipped to do that, let us help equip you to do that. Most people won't share their faith because they're afraid someone's going to ask them a question that they can't answer. There's a fear of rejection. We don't have to fear that. The Holy Spirit will speak through you. The Holy Spirit will draw that person. And though they might not respond to you at that first invitation, they may respond to someone else later on. Tell your story and share your faith. The next one was teach and model discipleship. Who are your two? Who are you pouring into this year? For the last 35 years of my life, I've seen the importance of discipleship, and I've discipled at least one and usually two or more people every year just to pour into them. There were different levels of their faith. Some of them were new believers. Some of them just were there, and I felt like God wanted me to pour into them. Who are your two? That's an elder parameter for this year, an important thing that they see for our body. Then cultivate a spirit of stewardship of time and talent and treasure. Am I using the time that God has given me, this swiftly passing time, for His glory? Am I a good steward of that? Am I a good steward of the talent that God has given me? Whatever it might be, whatever that talent is, am I a good steward of that? Am I giving it back to Him and of my treasure? Am I a good steward of my treasure that God has loaned to me? He didn't give it to us. He just loaned it to us for a little while. And I could get Lamar Steiger up here and he could talk for an hour on just that. But generosity. It's not what God wants from us. It's what God wants for us. Thank you, Lamar. Thank you. And then the last thing our elders added, and I think this came from you, Ed, in our elder meeting, if I'm not mistaken. Pray about everything. Worry about nothing. Man, in this old world that we live in, we could spend 24 hours a day worrying, could we? Where is it going? Is it coming down on our heads? Am I going to have enough money to retire? We could go all day long, but worry is taking responsibility for things over which you have no control. And so why would we spend any time on that? Rather than worry, let's pray. Just pray about it. We want to accomplish as much as possible while it is possible, everywhere possible. And God has given us a great mechanism to do that in Fellowship Bible Church. Thank you for leading, for being a part of this place, for the difference that you're making. I thank God that I came here 29 years ago. And just when I was ready to get out of vocational ministry, I'd been in vocational ministry for 10 years. God opened a door for me and said, hey, look, I've got something else for you. And I mean, he had taken me right up to the edge. I've got something else. And he opened a door and I came to this place and I just fell into the arms of a group of people who loved so well, who held the same values that I did and who held the scripture high. I said, I want to be a part of that. I want to share life with those people, you. And we have, and we do, and we will. So could I pray for you and your leadership this year? Oh God, I lift up this group. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for their love for you, for their willingness to step out and say, I'm going to do more. I want to reach out and be a light to those who need help. I want to lead because, Lord, you want me to lead. I want to be a light in this dark world. I want to reach other people for Christ. I want to lift you high, Lord, through the life that I live. I want to be generous with all that you've given me. I want to talk with you. I want to walk with you. I want to be everything that you would have me be. Thank you, Lord, for a group of people in this body that are gathered in this room right now who want to carry the torch forward and let the next generation and the next experience what we have experienced because of the fire that you placed within us. Oh Lord, bring us more. Bring us more who have the same commitment that this group has.